At a protest organized by Occupier Homes DC outside Freddie Mac's office in downtown DC, Bertina Jones asked the government-backed mortgage lender, "Can you hear me now?" Despite its pending seizure of her home in Prince George's County, Jones has found Freddie Mac difficult to reach. But after Monday's protest, which shut down its office, Freddie Mac seems eager to listen to this grandmother. Just an hour after the demonstration, spokesman Brad German told the Washington Post that Freddie Mac was looking for a positive resolution to Jones's situation. German explained that it was the merits of the case, not the boisterous action, that prompted Freddie Mac's sudden change of heart. After delivering a letter to Freddie Mac officials, which at first she was prevented from doing, Bertina Jones took questions from reporters at an impromptu press conference held outside the entrance to Freddie Mac's office, which was now closed down and guarded by police.
All right. So just, they could start throwing out questions. You can answer whatever you want.
Okay.
Bertina, how did it go in there?
Well, they accepted the letter, and they wouldn't have a meeting with me, but they did let me and Reverend Hagler in, and they accepted the letter.
Can you describe what the letter said?
The letter said that all the complaints that I have and how they illegally took my home, or trying to take my home.
What is your situation right now?
I'm still in the home.
And who else lives there with you?
My son and my grandson.
Where do things go from here? Were you satisfied with the response that you got?
No, I wasn't, but they said that someone will be contacting, their attorneys will be contacting me.
Why did you feel it was important and, you know, a good choice for you to get involved with this group and kind of have the backing of the Occupy folks here with you?
Because it's a movement that we need to get involved with. They're not, Freddie Mac was not listening to me. They're listening to me now. As they say, can you hear me now? Because I wrote them, I did court documents, I did everything that I possibly could to resolve this issue. And they refuse. I'm just, they don't have to deal with me. Their lawyers won't even return your calls.
How long has it been going on for?
It's been going on for since September of 2010.
How does it feel to be an icon, the face of the travesties that so many people around the country are facing?
I don't feel like an icon. I just feel like I am so glad I've stood up and fought, and I hope that more homeowners will come and join us, and together we can do this. It is the people. It's the people. It's not greedy corporate America that took our tax dollar and didn't know want to help the homeowners. I am not an icon by no means. I'm just a homeowner trying to save her home. What's my next step? We will be organizing more. Should we tell them about tomorrow?
Yeah, tell them about tomorrow.
Tomorrow we'll be at Freddie Mac in McLean's, Virginia, in Tyson's Corner.
Handing off this petition and another one from a guy in Riverside.
I am not stopping. You know, at least if you take my home, everybody will know the truth on how you stole it. You stole my home. No, you haven't stolen it because God gave it to me. You're trying to steal it. And that's the difference. Any more questions?
How do you think this will affect your family in terms of maybe seeing you going out here, speaking up for yourself?
Well, really, you know what? I was just like the rest of the homeowners, embarrassed, ashamed. You know what I'm saying? This is not a good feeling. I've worked 14 years. I'm a single parent. Nobody gave me anything. I worked for everything I've got. And for them to try to steal $100,000 equity, is that right? And just give me two? I was ashamed. You know, I felt bad I was losing my home. I cried a lot. But then after some time, you got to stand up and fight.
How has Occupy helped you in this whole process?
Occupy, they meet with me, they strategize, we get people together. They're just a organization that you need to be involved with. And we're going to do anything in this country because we can see what's going on politically. on how they trying to turn the whole country around, the haves against the have-nots. We got to stand up as a group and take our rights back.
At this event that you were a part of today, is this the first time that you've been a part of something like this?
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels good. Feels real good. That at least I, instead of, like I said, before I was ashamed and cried and was humiliated. It's a hurting thing to think that you're losing everything. But now it feels good to stand up and at least that I'm fighting for it.
What do you tell your son? You said you have a son?
Yes. For a while, I didn't even tell them. But when it started going public, I had to tell them. I did this alone as a single mother, just cried. I didn't want them to feel as though we was getting put out of our home. Isn't that something? That is wild.
Do you have a message for other homeowners who are going through a similar situation?
I do. You need to come down and fight with us. This is not just my battle, it's all of our battles. You need to come down. These banks say they're going to modify and help you, and they're lying. They're deceiving you. They have time get in between, and then they snatch your home and say, oh, well, you didn't follow the rules when we did everything you asked us to do. Other homeowners need to come down and stand up and be counted, especially in the PG. They have been hard hit. They are taking the blacks' wealth. Do I think it's racial? No. But most of the people in PG are black, and they're just taking our wealth. That's all that I have is a house. I'm not Romney, have a daddy with money. I work for everything I have.
That was Bertina Jones speaking with reporters at an impromptu press conference outside the office of Freddie Mac, the government-backed mortgage giant, which may seize Jones's home. Rouge Al-Wazir is one of the organizers with Occupy Our Homes DC, who has been working closely with Bertina Jones over the past weeks. After the press conference, I caught up with Rouge. Your name?
Rouge Al-Wazir.
Rouge, talk about the planning that went into today's action.
It started off, well, Occupy Our Homes first started organizing back in November. We were doing a lot of research, and we were connecting with a lot of the existing organizations. And it was around end of December, early January, when we heard of Bertina Jones's foreclosure eviction through Legal Aid. When we connected with Legal Aid, it took them a couple of weeks, I'd say three weeks, until Bertina Jones was excited to work with us and see what she could do to stop the foreclosure. And then for today's action, we were meeting every single day for 2.5 weeks, 3-hour meetings at least, sometimes in Bertina Jones's home in Bowie, Maryland, and sometimes here in McPherson. It was days of hours of organizing, connecting with a lot of folks at in PG County, and then reaching out to Reverend Hagler was awesome because we were able to connect with a lot more people, and we got him to come speak today, which was very moving and inspirational.
Talk about Bertina Jones's situation.
Bertina Jones.
How did you come across her?
We first heard about Bertina Jones's situation through Legal Aid, where one of the members of Occupy Our Homes reached out to Vicky from Legal Aid, and Vicky then spoke to Bertina and told Bertina about Occupy Our Homes. Bertina was then very interested and said she was willing to work with us. So we met up with her in Cozy for the first time, talked about her situation, and she decided to go forward. So we met up with her again with other lawyers to look over her documents, see what her legal situation is, what precedent she has, and we decided to just continue moving forward. We ended up reaching out to National Lawyers Guild in Maryland. They've been very supportive in working with her because Legal Aid right now is only giving her advice, not able to represent her at court because she's not considered low income because she's able to afford her mortgage, but not able to afford her mortgage and a lawyer. So Bertina Jones... lost her job for a little while back in 2008. She fell behind her from her mortgage for a couple of months, but contacted Bank of America and let them know that she was trying to sign an agreement that she's going to be able to pay it back. They got her payments, but never got her paperwork.
Occupy.
So she tried again. When they told her, you have to sign the paperwork again, she did that again. Same thing happened. They never received her paperwork. She went to another Bank of America to do the same thing, and they complained and said they never received her paperwork, but would receive her money that was in the same envelope that had her paperwork. So it's kind of obvious. She then spent long hours in UDC's library studying all the different legal rights that she has, that she could be suing against them. She tried to get court dates. Nobody would listen to her. She spent days and days outside of the courtroom just trying to get somebody to give her a court date. Nobody would listen. And legal aid was trying to, I guess, help her out through this, but they didn't even respond back to them. They tried to get Hoyer's office to speak to the people in Bank of America, but then Bank of America at this point had already sold her mortgage to Freddie Mac, even though, and Freddie Mac accepted, even though they knew that Bank of America had lost her paperwork three times. So they knew of that situation, but continued to buy Bettina's mortgage. And ever since then, that's it. She hasn't heard anything from Freddie Mac. She tries to talk to somebody there. Nobody was responding. So.
And why go out? Why the protest in front of Freddie Mac as opposed to Bank of America?
Because right now that's who has asking for possession is Freddie Mac. That's who has the mortgage right now. So any day now, the police officers could be knocking on her door. We're just waiting for the judge to sign the possession form, and that's it. It could be in one day, 2 days, but as of now, that's it. She's already gotten her eviction notice, and it takes usually 2 to 3 weeks. It's already past that, so she's expecting to have a police officer come any day now.
What do you think the chances of her being evicted are?
You know, looking at her documents, it was very likely, but recently when we've been looking over it with some legal experts, we looked at her documents. There's a lot of documents that are kind of shady, so I feel like it's not only immoral that they're evicting her, it's also illegal, and she has a lot of cases against Freddie Mac and Bank of America. So I think hopefully, I don't want to be too optimistic, but I think chances of her getting evicted are slim, because if they are trying to evict her, we're literally going to use our bodies as shield, and Bettina Jones is down as well. We're going to stay in her home, defend her home until, I don't know.
Are folks there now?
I mean, her son and her grandchild are. We're not going to be moving in until we hear that the judge has signed the possession form. As soon as the judge signs that form, it could happen in one day. So that's when we'll rally up the troops and move in.
Rouge, can you talk about the process from Occupy DC being based at McPherson Square to now you are doing actions in the community? And is that the result of the eviction, or this is happening before that?
I think a little bit of both. Occupy Our Homes started because I think a bunch of us realized that it was time to move on to working with communities and building relationships. For most of us, that's our goal, collective organizing, collective liberation. And in order for that to happen, we need to really be a part of the community, learn and listen, and see what we could do in solidarity with the work that's already been going on. So we've been learning a lot, listening a lot, and since November, and it's still an ongoing process. We're still learning, and I feel like a lot of working groups are taking that position, kind of moving from just having a multiple campaigns to focusing on one specific campaign and working really, really hard behind that one campaign with communities, building community power and strengthening the community. So I think it's a beautiful thing. I mean, just Bertina 2 days ago was like, I want to be part of Occupy. And I was like, you already are. Just, I want to start organizing in PG County, in my neighborhood. And that's what it is. You know, I feel like Occupy Our Homes, you know, we started off with Bertina Jones, but that's it. Bertina Jones is a strong, strong woman. You know, it's now it can be Bertina Jones and many other people in her own neighborhood organizing, standing in solidarity with one another. Just alone in her little neighborhood, there's 4 other people facing foreclosure. Now they can stand in solidarity with each other and have their own little Occupy Our Homes, you know? So it's a beautiful thing to have see.
Occupy Prince George's County.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Rouge.
Yeah, thank you.
That was Rouge Al-Wazir, an organizer with Occupy Our Homes, D.C. Before Bertina Jones and Reverend Graylin Hagler were allowed up to meet with Freddie Mac officials, they were physically barred from the building. Reverend Hagler, senior minister at Plymouth Congregational United Church of Christ, spoke to protesters outside the back entrance of the Freddie Mac building where he had just been physically prevented from entering.
Let me explain to you 1 second. What they were doing was that they had created this as an alternate entrance. People were coming and going out of the building. The way I found that out was I found a police officer whispering to somebody who was trying to go in the building.
That's what they do.
And they started walking up the street. And I started following them up the street. And the cops saw me following them up the street and called him back and told him to go and try to throw me off of his trail. Right? When he doubled back, I knew this was the entrance. And when they opened the door, sure enough, somebody went in. I tried to go in, and I was wrestled backwards. Right? Now, I'm not going to fault the police officers.
Why?
They're here to do their job. I'm here to do my job as well.
Right.
And you're here to do your job as well.
Yeah.
So we understand that people got their jobs in this. But Freddie Mac is protected in this building. And we need to keep some people out front and people over here.
Yeah.
If we got people out front and people over here, then we have effectively closed this building down.
Yeah.
And we're going to make not only Freddie Mac, but every tenant in this building a little bit uncomfortable the way they've made Miss Jones uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So we need to stand up.
Yeah.
An atmosphere of aggravation, because they have been an aggravating factor in Mrs. Jones' heart and in her life, and they have been an aggravating factor in all the people who have been foreclosed on and all the people been thrown out in the street. We're here to say enough is enough.
Yeah.
That it's time that it ends.
That's right.
You got Freddie Mac, a government-sponsored enterprise. That means they got privileges, such as they don't pay taxes, but they're a shareholder-controlled corporation. They have the benefit of being able to go and borrow all the money they want to borrow. But they've also demonstrated that they are willing to allow homeowners to be thrown on the street without any care, without any concern.
Yes.
And we're going to stand here keeping this building closed, and we're going to continue to march, because they may think they figured this out. But you know what? We know how to come like a thief in the night. And we'll be back when they least expect it.
Yeah.
So keep the lines going. Keep it going. Keep the chants up. Make sure the front of the building is covered as well as over here. All right?
Yeah.
God bless you.
Hey, what's it? What's it, folks?
Mike Trump!
I just thought we'd take an opportunity to hear from Miss Jones, since she's here with us today, fighting Freddie Mac.
Yeah.
So if Miss Jones just wants to say a few words about her fight.
I am
so nervous, first of all. But I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming and help me fight for my house. I really appreciate it. It is really important that we stand up together. I'm not the only one that Freddie Mac is foreclosed on illegally. There's hundreds of people that, and thousands of people that are getting their homes taken that shouldn't be getting their homes taken. And I did everything that Freddie Mac asked me to do. Oh, I did everything that Freddie Mac asked me to do. They said I could have a modification. They asked me to send in a lump sum of money. I did. They asked me to fill out some paperwork. I filled out the paperwork, went to their branch, had them notarize it and send it through the bank, envelopes, straight through the bank. Not through the mail, but actually through their bank. Still, each time they would say, oh, we don't have the paperwork, I would put my payment in there. Each month, they would call me up and say, oh, we still don't have the paperwork. I would put a payment in the paperwork. Each time a branch manager would fill the paperwork out and we would send it through. Till finally, they just sent me the lump sum back and kept my $8,500 for the note after 4 months and said the modification was off the table. Then 15 days later, they went for foreclosure. And in Maryland, all you have to do is present 15 days and they can take you home. And that's how fast the process worked. But thank goodness I kept going to the law library, learning to answer their emotions. I couldn't get a lawyer. I tried to get a lawyer. They wanted $15,000, $20,000 just the retainer to work on the case. So after doing everything that I could to try to satisfy the Bank of America, I asked, when they tried to foreclose on my home, I asked for a reinstatement amount. And they never, I kept calling, I called, I emailed, and I received the reinstatement amount 3 days after they had already done the foreclosure up at Upper Marlboro. So they didn't even give me a chance to reinstate the loan. And I had the money. I sent my bank statements proving that I had the money, but they still. So the point is that these banks lie, deceive you, and make you think that they're going to work with you and they're going to modify loans, but really they aren't. And it's a shame. It's a deception. We bailed them out with our taxpayers' money, and they never tried to help any of the homeowners by just giving you a modification. I mean, we wasn't asking them to give us free money. You know, it's just, I'm just so upset and stressed behind this. Oh, yeah, and I want to talk about that settlement that that the 50 states agreed to. People who lost their homes will only get $2,000? Oh my goodness, I could not believe that. I have at least $100,000 worth of equity in my home. I've been living in my home for 14 years. So at the end, I'm gonna get $2,000 and you're gonna get $98,000 back to the 99, huh? Yeah. They're going to get all my equity. I cannot believe that. This is what we, our government agreed to, and Merlin as well. So, but it's important to keep spreading this movement, and we've been going around to finding other homeowners to stand up for and help them in their plight, because when they have big time lawyers. We don't have any lawyers, so they can fight us. And so we have the people, though. That's what's most important.
We do.
We have the people. Woo! All right. Thank you, everyone.
Did you hear from Reverend Hagler?
No, what Reverend Hagler said.
So you and him can go in and present the law.
So we just got some news from the building security. Because we were out here and shutting down the building, Ms. Jones and Reverend Hagler are headed inside. They've been allowed in to deliver the order. But we got to keep that pressure up.